This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. Today we are praying for America, and today we are praying for those in prison and their family members. And it's so good to have on the broadcast today on BPN Radio a friend of Gene and I's for several years, Pia Amato. And Pia is 45 years old. She attends Grace Chapel in Loxahatchee, Florida. We've ministered on several occasions under the leadership of Pastors Brian and Cynthia Rosenbarger. And she's been involved in various ministries over the years at Trinity Church International and at Grace Chapel, including being a youth leader for 18 years, singing, playing the violin on the praise and worship team. She's also assisted with the creative arts team for special events and different church functions. Her passion is being a worshiper, and she loves to make people laugh. She's currently currently running and operating her brother's sports nutrition supplement company while he is incarcerated in a prison in a Florida state prison. And her brother is one of my spiritual sons. And we're going to talk about Daniel today. Daniel Amato, he's 43 years old, is a father to three beautiful children, Ryan, 15, Brindley, 12, Brielle, 5. And Daniel's a very smart businessman, started multiple sports nutrition companies that were very successful. His products were at GNC, the Vitamin Shop, Vitamin World, and his products were featured in bodybuilding magazines for over 15 years. Daniel was an avid MMA fan, even co-owned a mixed martial arts gym with Randy Couture, and trained with Wanderlei Silva, BJ Penn, former Olympic boxing champions, just to name a few. But over the years, Daniel suffered multiple hits to his head, resulting in multiple concussions and head injuries, and that's kind of where the story starts today. He's in a Florida prison, but his sister, Pia, is with us today. Pia, welcome to BPN Radio on this Thursday.
Well, thank you, Pastor.
It's good to have you, and I'm thankful that you are on today to tell your to tell Daniel's story. He can't tell his story right now because he's in prison, and but you could tell his story, and I'm sure that a lot of other people would identify what you're going to say. And of course, at the close, we're gonna pray for family members that have loved ones incarcerated today. Almost 3 million people in America are behind bars today, which is it's kind of mind boggling, but it shows what can happen, and lives will be turned upside down as a result. So it's good to have you on, Pia, and. You've been on once before praying with us, but could you share Daniel's story and how it's affected his family? And we're going to pray today for the people that are listening today that identify with you and where you're at, what's going on.
Yeah. Well, his story kind of, like in the bio that you read, he was owned multiple sports nutrition companies over the years, was very, very successful, but he was also an avid MMA fan, and through divine connections got a relationship with Randy Couture, who's like a living legend in the MMA field, and he co-owned a gym with Randy, and it was successful for a time, and you know, most gyms only have a short shelf life like that, so it closed, but during the time that he owned it, he was able to train with just the biggest of the big names, and was an excellent fighter himself, But during the course, the sport, you get injured. And he received multiple concussions. He was also an avid surfer and went on a lot of surfing trips throughout the year to Hawaii, Costa Rica, different places. And he was very, very good, but the same thing. You're going to get injured when you do any type of sports activity. So, and this started way back from when he was a teenager. I think the devil always attacks your gift because he knows what your gifts are. And my brother's gift is his intellect. He's extremely intelligent. I think he has like 163 IQ. So what does the devil do? He goes after his head. That's where his gift is. So he's, you know, the devil is sneaky. He's early. The devil knows. So because of the multiple concussions, that's kind of what landed him, unfortunately, in prison. He because of the concussions, he went to see multiple brain doctors over the course of like 2-3 years. He saw about 20 brain specialists, not just like a regular MD, but actual brain specialists where they had a whole bunch of specialized tests. He even had hyperbaric chamber treatments, and the doctors couldn't find anything wrong with him. So they assumed that he was crazy, put him on psychotic meds, which actually made him go crazy and lose his mind. And then he committed kind of a, you know, he went on a crime spree and did some horrible crimes. But it was just like, I'm not trying to promote a movie, but there was a movie that came out last December called Concussion with Will Smith. And it's a true story of NFL football players and this doctor, Bennett Omalu, who was a forensic pathologist, who the same thing happened to football players. They're very successful, great fathers, great businessmen, great athletes, and they get repeated concussions from the time they start probably peewee football, from the time they're young until the time they're in their 30s or 40s, and it just wreaks havoc on their brain. And just like in the movies, doctors don't really know a lot about brain injuries. They assume the guys are psychotic, put them on all these crazy antipsychotic medications, which actually make them crazy and hallucinate. And it changes their behavior, changes their personality. They hallucinate. Just like in the movie, it's a good end for a lot of these NFL football players. And that's kind of what led Daniel to the position where he's at now. He was hallucinating. He was angry. He was paranoid, thinking people were following him, hearing voices. And he kind of, you know, committed a two bad crimes like a week apart. So that's where we're at today.
Yeah.
So,
I saw the movie Concussions, and I would encourage everybody listening today here on BPN Radio, I would encourage them to rent this movie, buy the movie Concussions, because it is a major problem in the athletic world, in different sports, but particularly in football. So many are getting concussions, and after a while there is major problems that the news media does not talk about it. The athletic world does not talk about it because they do not want to bring reproach upon their sport because it's making so much money. And so, but there's so many, many injuries. So Daniel, he began to have the problems and committed the crimes, and then he went to prison. And how long has he been now in prison?
Well, he was first arrested July 3rd, charged with aggravated battery of a deadly weapon in Miami. Then he was let out on bail. And then on July 10th, charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. And he was, you know, been locked up.
So, Pia, you're cutting out just a little bit. I don't know if you have it on speakerphone or if you're right. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you better. And so what year did he go to prison?
July 10th, 2014.
Okay, so he's been there now for 2.5 years. That's a long time. And he was sentenced to how many years?
He was sentenced to 7 years and 6 months for the one crime committed on July 10th, and then for 3 years, 10 months, 24 days for the crime he committed on July 3rd, but he's able to serve them concurrently and with time served.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a release date of January 25th of 2021. However, most inmates don't serve their full sentence because they can get out early for what's called game time. So if they don't have any fights or disciplinary actions against them, they can get out earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I know it's a difficult journey for him and his family, and for you, your parents, and of course, particularly his children. I'm so thankful that I got to go visit Daniel not long ago. You drove me to the prison. I was able to spend some time with Daniel. I'm looking forward to visiting him again this year. And of course, I write him. I stay in contact with him. There's a time that we talked every week on the phone. And of course, he's on my prayer list. And today, you know, I just have a heart for prison ministry. I've had broadcast here, lots of broadcasts about the prison ministry. You know, Jesus said, I was in prison and you did not visit me. And of course, his disciples were awestruck about that because they didn't know that he'd ever been in prison. He said, no, I represent people that are incarcerated. And when you visit them, you visit me. And if you don't visit them, then you're not visiting me. And so I believe that, you know, my dad was a prison minister. He was a pastor for a long time. And then in his late 60s, he began to visit prisons and minister there. He won hundreds of men and women to Jesus there in the prison. So, you know, I really believe that I picked up his passion for those that are incarcerated. I don't know of any more challenging life a person could live than being in prison. And so I know it's a difficult time for you. You're carrying on your brother's work and doing a good job. And then, of course, your parents and, of course, Daniel's children. So how's it affected you guys, Daniel being in prison?
Well, I mean, it's never anything you suspect from somebody who's never committed a crime. He's not a career criminal. Mm-hmm. This is a good husband, a good father, brother, good son. It just didn't fit his character. But all that changed when he sustained the concussions and the brain injury, because his character, his personality changed. And then he turned into somebody we didn't recognize. And that happens a lot with brain injuries. Their personality changes. So it was hard because this is not who Daniel we knew and loved. This mm-hmm. is somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very, very hard, probably confusing for his children. They were very young, a lot younger at the time, not really fully understanding what was happening. And at the same time, his marriage was unraveling because of all of this. And unfortunately, he did get divorced. But thankfully, you know, my sister-in-law is a great mom and does a great job raising them, and she's got a good support system. So, you know, the kids are okay.
How's it affected your parents to see their son in prison?
I think it's just heart-wrenching. You know, no parent is prepared for that. I couldn't even imagine what they're going through. I mean, it's different as a sister, but as a parent, that's just a totally different burden. But interestingly enough, my parents actually were prison ministers back in the day at Trinity Church International.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, God was maybe preparing them without them knowing about it years and years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So they visited minimum security prisons all the way to maximum security prisons and would have a praise and worship team go, like a full team of singers and preachers and
mm-hmm.
But it's very difficult because prison's not like it used to be. You can't just go and visit people. You have to be on an approved list. They have to do background checks. They can have only so many visitors. They can't have, you know, an unlimited number of visitors. So it's much more difficult to visit people in jails or prison nowadays.
Mm-hmm. I agree. When I first started the ministry, I could just show them my ministerial license, go to any jail or prison, And they would walk me right in. And like you say, there's a lot of red tape that you have to go through. Family members,
yeah.
even ministers, even clergy. So I know it's becoming more and more difficult. And wow, there's so much that goes on in prisons. I mean, so there's so much violence, and you know, even yesterday I saw where in Vermont that some of the inmates had taken over the prison, and there's just a lot of activity that is happening there behind the scenes. That's quite amazing, and that's why our prison systems really need prayer.
Absolutely. I believe that over prisons, there's just strongholds of violence and darkness that surround that whole regional area, that we as Christians have to learn that it's our authority and our right to break that over a prison.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that people aren't aware that they can do that, that they have that authority to break spirits of violence and murder and depression and suicide.
Absolutely.
And addiction over certain geographical locations.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
you know, there is hope in a hopeless situation.
Yeah, I believe that. And what would you say to encourage people that are listening today that maybe have a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter? I know that young people are being incarcerated now as young as 13, 12, 11 years old. And they may have a son or daughter, maybe a sister, brother, mother, father that is in prison. What would you say to them to encourage them today?
I would say to not lose heart, that it's not as bad as they're imagining it. I mean, it's not the best place, but don't give way to fear. And you got to be their advocate. Call and check up, because you have that right. I think a lot of people don't understand that. They don't think they can call and check. They think that they're bothering the classification officers. You're not. That's your job, because the only time that they are going to contact you is if your loved one is on the verge of death. They don't contact you if your loved one's been in a fight, an altercation. So it's your job to call and check to see that. And it lets them know that they have people on the outside that care about them, that they're just not a number.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a big advocate of that. Like, call the classification officers, get to know them, call every week and check up on them.
Mm-hmm.
I do. They're probably sick of hearing from me, but I mean, you've got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that they know somebody is watching.
Yeah.
And most of the wardens, classification officers, sergeants, most of them are good, but there are a couple of bad apples. So you want to make sure that they are dotting their I's and crossing their T's, and they do what they say they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my best advice, and not to give up. Keep riding them, visit them if you can, and just put them in God's hands. Take that burden off yourself and give it to God, because He cares about what's bothering us.
So. Well, I concur. I agree, and I think it's important that people have other people praying for their family member. I think that there are some people that kind of keep it a secret because they're ashamed that maybe one of their family members has been incarcerated, but so they're silent about the situation. I believe that's exactly
Absolutely.
What Satan wants, and I believe that we need to let people know that we have a family member that is in jail, in prison, incarcerated, and would you please pray for them? And maybe get you a list of people that you're contacting on a regular basis and say, are you praying? Would you still pray? And here's what's going on. Here's how you can pray. And I think that's very, very important.
Yeah, yeah. And that's most important. And I even, like, email all of our family members and Dan's immediate friends, like, hey, here's his address. Here's what you can write to him, what you can send. Please send him letters. It makes his day. Because he's, you know, they can't just make calls all day long and, like I said, have people go visit. It's a lot different now. So letters really brighten their day, because they can't get regular packages. So a letter is like their lifeline.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I encourage I encourage people to have their family members to have other people writing them, praying for them, and, you know, can't let them be forgotten. So, well, I know it's a difficult situation, Pia, but I know as a sister that you are one that is watching for your brother, praying for him, and also your family is working together, praying for Daniel and looking forward to the day that he gets released and believing that that his sentence will be shortened. I believe that communicate with him on a regular basis since he's gone to prison. I know that he has a heart to do the will of God, and I believe he's going to have an incredible testimony when he comes out. And so I appreciate you being on today, and I believe in the power of prayer. We made a commitment here on BPN Radio that we won't talk about anything we can't pray about. So I'm going to have you to pray, and however the Holy Spirit leads you concerning maybe praying for family members who has a family member that's in jail. I know that there must be a lot of grief and heartache and sorrow and even guilt and condemnation. I could have done a better job. You know, they take part of the blame. You know, if I would have been a better father, better mother, better sister, better brother, better son, daughter. And the blame they can really get into the blame game, condemnation. We could have done more. But I do know that sometimes people make choices. And I also know that sometimes people go to prison unjustly. And, you know, I believe if Daniel could have had the proper treatment, this probably would have been avoided. But I believe that there needs to be a new awareness concerning concussions and concerning what is going on with people's lives. And when they begin to have this behavior, there needs to be ways that they can get help rather than, I guess, the normal, the test.
Absolutely.
Brain doctors. So, however, the Holy Spirit wants you to pray. I'm going to play some prayer music, and then you can pray. So you can go for it.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, Father God, we just lift up all people in jails and prisons across the state of Florida, and even the whole United States, and even further than that, even the whole world. People who are in jails and prisons who have a hard time, Father God, we just ask that you bring them encouragement, God. And we pray for the top. We pray for the wardens of all jails and prisons, assistant wardens, sergeants, lieutenants, the captains. We pray for the classification officers, the chaplains who go and minister to them, the people even in the property offices, the mail room. We just pray for every single person who works over the jail, that it starts from the top, that there would be revival in every single jail, prison, federal prison, state prison, over the whole globe, especially the state of Florida, where my brother is, Father God. We pray for revival to break out. We thank you, God, that there's going to be dreams and visions starting from the warden down to the prisoners, dreams and visions of who you are. We thank you that there's going to be a revival. We thank you, Holy Ghost, that you're healing broken souls and broken spirits. You're going deep, deep into the darkest places of their souls and exposing the darkness that's been there for generations. We ask you that by your fire, you remove the darkness that's in their soul and heal up their mind, their will, and emotions, places that they've been abused and hurt and rejected. We take authority over you, Satan, right now in the name of Jesus. Any strongholds of principalities, any spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms, over the regions, over prisons, over spirits of violence, anger, murder, over suicidal thoughts, over spirits of despair and rejection, spirits of defeat and depression, heaviness and loneliness. We bind and rebuke the spirit of witchcraft that's prevalent in prisons right now in the name of Jesus. We bind and rebuke any spirits of addiction that's brought people to prison, or rejection and rebellion in the name of Jesus. Any homosexual spirits of perversion, spirits of hate. In the name of Jesus, we bind and rebuke each and every single one of these things. We curse you at your root. We curse you at your entry point, and we forbid you from operating in their lives. In Jesus' name, we command you to leave right now. And Holy Ghost, we ask you to come up and fill those empty spaces that we've just cleaned out. In Jesus' name, we thank you that no weapon formed against these prisoners is going to prosper in Jesus' name. And now we pray for the families and the friends of prisoners, that you would comfort them, Holy Spirit, and that you would give them hope that their prisoners, that their loved ones that are in prison, that they have a hope and a future, even after all this is said and done. And we thank you that they're not going to give up on the family members, but they're, even if they're serving life terms, that you're going to give the family members just the endurance to go on and to keep writing them, to keep sending them money for their canteen, and that they would have people, friends and church members that would support them and pray for their loved ones in Jesus' name. And we just bless them in Jesus' name.
P, I set myself in agreement with you right now that the prayers that you have given will go forth, will touch the hearts of people, will change the atmosphere in prisons across in Florida and across America. I agree with you for revival in prison systems all across this nation, all across the land, that the Holy Ghost would show up and that prisoners would be turning to Jesus, baptized in the Holy Ghost, baptized in water, and the Spirit of the Lord would just sweep through the entire prison systems all across America. I set myself in agreement in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, and I'm expecting and anticipating incredible reports coming out of prisons all across this nation and all across this land. If anybody wanted to write you or contact you, Pia, concerning having you pray for a family member they may have in prison, calling their name or putting them on a prayer list, how would they get in contact with you?
I guess the best way to contact me would be my work address. I can give that to you. That's 342 Pike Road, Suite 21, West Palm Beach, Florida, 33411. Or they can email me at pia_amato@hotmail.com. And I'll be glad to add them to my prayer list or to offer them advice, especially with their loved ones first gotten arrested and in jail or in prison. It's a hard thing to swallow, and they may not know the steps that they legally can take.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be glad to help anybody any way that I can.
Oh, that would be amazing. One more time, give your email address and spell your name for everybody, if you will.
Okay. It's pia_amato@hotmail.com. That's P-I-A and then _AMATO at hotmail.com.
Okay. Well, that's great, Pia. And you're still running the business for your brother. How could they, if they're interested in some products that would help? I mean, how do you have a website? Or is there a place that they can go and look?
We do. It's the one company that he has left out of all the companies that he's owned. Everything else went under when he got arrested. It's called LegalSteroids.com. And it's obviously everything's legal. It's just a play on words.
Right.
So it's everything that you can get over the counter. Uh-huh. And it's more like natural testosterone boosters, stuff to help you lose weight. So stuff that you can get all on the counter like a GNC store. So, again, that's LegalSteroids.com. And we have a full range of products. And there's always somebody waiting if you call our telephone number to help you with any questions that you have.
Okay, that's LegalSteroids.com. The play on words, all healthy.
Right.
Pia,
it's all legal.
That's great. It's been so good to have you on today. You're a blessing. And those of you that are listening, you know someone who has a family member that has been in prison, incarcerated, then have them to listen. Well, this broadcast will be replayed several times today. Pia, thank you for being on today. So thankful and grateful to you. You're a tremendous blessing.
Thank you. I love you and Gene.
Yeah, we love you too. And what a play, Jesus Paid It All. That's a great song. And thanks for being on today. Yeah.
And I hear the Savior say, child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me your all in all. Lord, now indeed I find by your power and yours alone can change my troubled mind and melt my heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus died, my soul to save. My lips will still repeat, oh, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Oh, sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, Jesus paid it all. To him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed. Oh, that crimson stain. My Jesus took that crimson stain. He took that crimson stain and he washed it white as snow.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
Christmas Eve, going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. And before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both their lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. Jesus, take the wheel. car came to a stop. She cried when she saw that baby in the backseat sleeping like a rock. And for the first time in a long time, she bowed her head to pray. She said, I'm sorry for the way I've been living my life. I know I've got to change. So from now on tonight, Jesus, take the wheel.
Changes everything. It's one. Just That name, Jesus. Thank God there is power in that name. And here's why. Jesus got his name three ways. One, by inheritance. Two, it was bestowed upon him by our Father God. And three, by conquest. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And that's why there's power in that name, Jesus. He acquired his name by inheritance, divinely begotten of love. His name was bestowed upon him from the heart of our Father God. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He has given that name to me. Demons are helpless at the sound of that name, 'cause they still remember Jesus put them to shame. All hell just trembles, for they must obey, and heaven stands at attention when I mention that name. God has given him a name above every name, and he's seated at the Father's right hand. Jesus gave us the key to pray effectually, and the use of that name to command, with the court of high heaven watching over me. In the presence of God I can stand. Jesus gave me authority to pray in that name. Since I'm a new creature, demons are helpless at the sound of that name, 'cause they still remember Jesus put them to shame. All hell just trembles, for they must obey, and heaven stands at attention when I mention that name. And heaven stands at attention when I mention that name.
When you found me here, you pulled me close and held me near. And I'm a fool,
but still you love. I'll be a fool for the king of love. You gave me wings so I could fly, and gave me a song to color the sky. And all I have is all from you, and all I want is all of you. It's grace, grace, I'm nothing without you. Grace, your grace shines on me. And there've been days when I've walked away, too much to carry, nothing left to say. Forgive me, Lord, when I'm weak and lost. You traded heaven for a wooden cross. And all these years you've carried me, you've been my eyes when I couldn't see. And beauty grows in the driving rain, the oil of gladness in the times of pain. Your grace, grace, I'm nothing without you. Grace, your grace shines on.
I'll be a fool for the king of love.